welcome. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, and we are in call number two. It's very exciting as we're getting close to the big event and the big shoot. I'm Jess Todfeld. So today, in your media training call, we're going to go even deeper. And before I hit record, Dave and I were chatting about, and he's one of the other participants, and we were chatting about what it is that he really wants to have happen and have come out of his mouth in this interview. And even though I was asking just general questions, that's where I was leading him towards and part of what we're going to do today.
And Nick is here too, Jeff.
Hey, and Nick is here. So one of the things I'm going to do is turn it on over to Nick, who gives you some last details and things you're probably thinking about, and we'll handle some of your questions, and then we'll get moving with some of the other media training stuff. So take it away, Nick.
Well, hey, guys. Good to have you on the line. And really, I'm here to answer any last-minute questions you feel like you don't have clarity on. I'm happy to answer any question that I know the answer to. If not, I can get you to somebody in the office again. But while, because I don't want to take up too much of Jess's training time, because what he does here is magic. So anyone have any particular questions before Jess gets started with the training about the festivities in just a couple weeks?
This is Daniel Butterfield. A quick question. I missed the first training call, and yes. Is there a place I can grab that recording to catch up?
Yeah, just you can send it out, right?
Yeah, in fact, you should have it below in whatever email you looked at to get the number today.
Oh, gotcha.
All previous,
thank you.
Yeah, emails should be down below.
Okay.
Good stuff. Any other questions? That one's easy. Anything else before Jess? Rock and roll with you.
Nick, this is Nelson Hollins again. I just wanted to ask, when we arrive at the hotel, are we, I believe you mentioned there's a certain time where the event will start for that particular day. So are we just checking into the hotel and then, I guess, going to our room or whatever in preparation for that event? Is that how that's going to work?
Correct, yeah. We kind of have a welcome reception, cocktail mixer that evening. Nothing before that because people are just traveling all day, myself included.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the first thing that day.
Right. Thank you.
No problem. Anybody else?
I'm going to throw one in, Nick, which is about Brian Tracy.
Yep.
Do you know if what pre event or thing that he's going to be around for? When one of the things I recommend and him was that people should just, say hello, meet you guys, kind of feel like, hey, now we already have a relationship, and then it's even more relaxed during the interview.
Yes,
I'm
always
curious.
Try for that, but Brian is coming in from, I believe, out of the country for this one, and he will.
Right. So even though that day, I'm sure people will say, kind of even a quick hello, even if you kind of see him do a little of his stuff in action or,
I don't think there's anywhere to do that, but if there's any way I can facilitate that, I will, but basically it's a closed set during the day because most people don't like people watching during their interviews. So
Very good. Okay.
I promise you, Brian is very easy to get to know, very, very comforting. I will be there, and really his goal is to make you look and sound awesome. So the cool thing about Brian is he gives amazing introductions, and basically it's a great testimonial from the time if you just clip the first 15 seconds of the interview, you'll have like the best testimonial ever from Brian Tracy. So that's a good script there. And those of you who I'm interviewing who are not in the Brian Tracy show, I will do the same for you. I'll give you a good intro, and we will rock and roll.
Perfect. Any last questions for Nick before he jumps off and I take it away and go a little deeper than last time?
Awesome. All right, well, you guys have fun, and email me if you have any questions, or email anyone at the office, and we'll get you answered, and then we will see you next Wednesday. Look forward to it. Take care, guys.
All right, very nice. All right, so we're going to jump in and dive forward. Last time on call number one, we talked about what to wear, dress in a way that – this is a very short version of it – dress in a way that best represents who you are, but I went a little deeper on the last one. We talked about – the real nervousness comes from fear of the unknown. So the more we can eliminate that, meaning if you can just go beforehand, sit on that set, just kind of sit in the spot and be like, okay, after about 2 minutes you'll be saying, yeah, it's a couch, okay, I get it. You know, I'm not nervous about it anymore. During the interview, kind of try to knock out, not worry, and not focus, I should say. Not focus on the fact that there are extra lights. Lights are lights. Let the other folks do their thing, meaning the Knicks technical team. Camera people, let them do their thing. Don't even worry about them. Focus on your interview, meaning just you and the person interviewing you. And that's where your energy goes. And to treat it, so this is the very short recap, treat it as if it is you talking to a prospect or a client. And the reason why I say that is something usually clicks when I say that for people in this type of a group, because you know it resonates with prospects and clients, and you know what makes their eyebrows go up. And that's what I want you to be able to chat about. Towards the end of the last call, something that is was really helpful, and I said I'm going to go a little bit deeper and bring it back up today, again, is it was what I call the message system. And basically that is a way for you to organize all of the questions, the answers that you wish you could deliver. And really the way I like to think of this entire process is for you to think, okay, these are the answers I wish I can say, and if I start looking at those and thinking about how I would say it, then you've got a lot of that in your bones, and then as Nick asks the questions, or Brian Tracy, depending which show you're a part of, then you're going to be good to go. They're going to ask you a question, and you think, oh, well, you know, one of the things I like to tell people is, and you do your thing. Also, in eliminating the unknown, if there's any little stumble or any of those things, they can edit around that. They can cut back to the interviewer nodding and make you look good in a whole bunch of different ways. So ideally, that should make you feel better about the whole process. And let's see here. I just want to bring up exactly what I have in my notes here to make sure I'm not duplicating something. So, So what I had said last time was you write out all the answers that you wish that you can say, and you divide it up into these three categories, and the goal is giving a three-part message. Now, this is the extra deeper way of doing it. At the very least, if you said the things that you say to those prospects and clients that excite them, the things that you say, gee, if it were on this video and people came to my website and I saw it, it would be working for me all the time. If you did just those things, you'd be happy. I like to give you as much as I can give you. Any questions before I jump into newer material? Anybody have some burning question that came from that you'd rather me chat about now than wait until the very end? All right. We'll forge forward. So, next thing I want to talk about is, moving over here, stories. I just wanted to start with the most important thing for all of you. Stories are something that is actually from my advanced media training workshop, but it's very important that all of you have it here. So I want all of you to think about at least two stories for your interview so that basically give a sense with leaving off the names of who they are. Give people a sense of exactly how you help a client. So if we have, say, David, who's an insurance agent, who already said his goals are to separate himself, kind of show his unique selling proposition, how he's just a little bit different, go into some of those ways where he explains marketing-wise, people buy people, yeah, everyone has to brand themselves. But in talking about that, if David could say, without necessarily saying the person's name unless the person's fine with it, say, I had a gentleman come to me. This is a gentleman who has this type of business, and you say what type of business is, and said, look, the problem is you know, I'm not really getting as much business as I should, and I know I need to do something. So here's what we came up for him. And you start telling that story of what you came up with and how it played out. And the elements for storytelling are, one, if you're keeping notes, you can write this down. One, who are the characters? That's real easy. It's you. You're one of the characters. And whoever it was you were helping, those are the other characters. And if you don't give them a name, you can at least say what type of person it was. Meaning, you know, you had a woman who was a small business owner, and she was in her mid-50s. And this was important for X, Y, and Z reasons. And so that's step one. Step two would be dialogue. So she comes in and she says this to me, da-da-da-da. And then I said, well, why is this important? Well, she said I need to do this. So you tell it with dialogue. And two things happen. One is the interview is 1,000 times more interesting. And the reason why it's more interesting is the way we talk with each other as human beings is we tell stories. And if I said to all of you, just to kind of prove this, if I said to all of you, hey, how was your weekend? If I said to Nelson, who's on the line, hey, how was your weekend? Nelson wouldn't say, well, let's see. I got up. I got out of bed. I walked to the bathroom and got my toothbrush, and then I put toothpaste on, and I moved to the left, and then I moved right. And then I went to the kitchen. I took a bowl of cereal. He wouldn't give a list of what it is that happened. We just naturally launch into, oh, my family came out to visit me. It was my kids, and then this happened, and we took them the kids on a hayride, and you wouldn't believe what happened. So he'd launch into a story. It's something that we do when we're not realizing we're doing it, and we have to be reminded in important sales presentations and interviews. So I said number one is it makes it much, much more interesting. But number two is you create a connection with the people who are listening, and ideally it's an emotional connection because they'll say, oh, I relate to that person in your story, or that person is like me, or that person is going through something that I'm going through. And by the way, as all of you have been thinking about stories, I'm going to, certainly in the first half of our chat today, I'm gonna ask one of you to kind of launch into one of your stories that you think would be amazing to tell, and we're going to do some back and forth and a little bit of coaching, so one of you get to have that, possibly more. And the idea is everybody else can start to think, okay, hey, I have a story like that. So I want you to see it in action. So the second part is people will connect with it, they'll relate to it better, and the third part that makes it so, so great and important is that it's more memorable. People find it more memorable, and it brings them closer to action, which, by the way, something from the first call, the call to action. Very important that you include those calls to action. Just as a reminder, from last time I had it as one of your categories of answers. It's not just, you know, hey, and by the way, buy the book. The call to action is any type of action, meaning, hey, ask yourself this one question, audience who's listening right now. If you said, hey, ask yourself this one question, people will do it in their head. Plus, there's this power with questions. As I'll say it right now, do you ever notice when someone asks you a question, you can't help but try to think of the answer? All of you right now are thinking, oh, I wonder if I do that. We can't help it. So there's a power to using questions in general. You know, hey, did you ever notice this, or did you use questions? But the other thing is to do it in a call-to-action way. So one call to action is, hey, ask yourself this question. Another call to action is, hey, if you do anything, if you're a small business person, and I'm just using this as an example, if you're a small business person and this is an issue for you, go do this one thing today that I'm talking about. Go make that change. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm prescribing advice, and they haven't paid me. So this brings up something else, which is the free item. So some of you might have some sort of free item, meaning a white paper, or it even could be a consultation, or something on your website, download video, another video, you should encourage people using the call to action to go get the free item, partly because it's free. The other reason is obviously now they're in your funnel and your world and more and bigger things are happening, and you've given them something.
Is this this is Daniel Butterfield?
Daniel,
can I ask
go ahead.
A quick question? Is
this
are you saying during the interview, the 7 to 8 minute interview with Brian Tracy, that we should be pointing people to our website, encouraging them to download the white paper, the ebook, or whichever we have, as a way to accumulate? Okay.
Yeah. So the idea is, people go to your website, they hear about you, however they heard about you, whether it was your own, you know, email marketing or somebody told them or a conference and they have your card. However it was, they make it to your website and they say, let me check this guy out. And then they say, oh, he's on, look at this, he's in some big TV interview. If you're with Brian Tracy, they, oh, okay, I recognize Brian Tracy. The other one, they say, this looks pretty snazzy, whether they know the interviewer or not. And now they're listening, and they're kind of, you know, sitting back in their chair with their arms folded. By the way, that's something else you could do with your storytelling. You can have some imagery that's helpful. You know, if you say, and the client had his arms folded, and he's leaning back. All right, so anyway, back to my point here. So they're looking, and when they hear you say, listen, you know, I help people in this way and that way and this other way, but, you know, I'm always looking to reach out and make a difference in people's lives. One thing, people could just go to my website. They can download this item. It will help them. So it's just yet another prong. It's another touch point in you touching that prospect towards them eventually working with you. And if you think about somebody who, some guru or anything that you've taken a next step with, possibly even with this program with Nick, you know, you might have, you know, you saw something wherever you saw. By the way, for any of you, you can hit *6 if you need to mute yourself. for some folks who have a couple of things going in the background. So if you think about it, you know, you saw some ad somewhere or somebody told you about it. You know, maybe you tuned into one of the teleseminars. Maybe you got, you know, some emails or had been getting some emails. So it's, you know, it's a multiple touch points to start eventually saying, oh, hey, you know, I might be ready. So same thing for you. We want that for you, which is, yes, you can use your call to action to either say, hey, by the way, I have this great thing on my website. That's not a call to action yet. And I really encourage people to download it, to go get it, to actually read it and act on what's in there, because I'm pretty proud of it, but I've seen the results that people get. That's a much deeper call to action. And just, you know, hey, there's this thing. And by the way, you don't have to really worry about plugging your website address. Nick will remind you of this when he sees you, but they're going to just put it graphically on the screen. And then obviously if somebody's on your website, it doesn't even matter. They're already there. But, yeah, so that's what will happen. Is that helpful? I think he muted himself.
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. And by the way, I said this last time, but I purposely leave myself unmuted so that you can ask questions and, you know, chime in with whatever it is that you're going to chime in about. So to those means, and I'll just give you another sense of the two biggest things that I'm going to talk about today. One is the story pieces, and the other is sound bites. I'll just tell you quickly on sound bites. Sound bites, when you're talking to the type of reporter that, say, the evening news, and they slice things up, that's all they're looking for. Obviously, this is not that. If you're talking to a print reporter, they're not called sound bites, they're called quotes, and that is mainly what they're going to run with. So for all of you, here's why it's relevant. For all of you, it's about taking some of your answers and just making them pop. So you're still speaking in paragraphs. Now, I'm not trying to get you to be one of these politicians that speaks in short, halting ways and, you know, read my lips or, you know, I'm trying to think of another one. What is it? you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You don't just say those things. You have that within the paragraphs of what you're saying. So as I'm sure one person right now is thinking, oh, I could use, yeah, I mean, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I could steal that and make it work for my thing, because I'm sure there's fear about people taking next steps with all of you. And I have a feeling, having worked with past groups, just like what I'm doing and what I'm talking about today, the more you eliminate the fear, the more you make it open, the more you eliminate potential objections, which you can bring up in your interview, then what's left is people taking action. And then obviously that's where the call to action works in there too. So the sound bites are, for all of you, is just kind of the cherry on top. And if you pepper a couple of these in here, you're going to feel great. You're going to look like a superstar, and you're going to sound like a superstar, and, you know, people just – it'll just resonate even more. So that's going to be in the second half. But right now, I want to see who would like to practice with one of your stories that you were thinking about that really highlights how you helped a client or prospect.
I can do it.
I'm interested.
All right, who's this?
David Lorms.
All right, David. So, David, just give people, even though I mentioned who you are, I want you to give kind of a 30-second version of who you are and what you do, but I want you to think about it this way. You might actually be saying this on your interview, meaning is it Nick or Brian that will be interviewing you?
Brian.
So when Brian says, you know, your insurance guy, it's your marketing guy, explain to people, you know, the intersection, what do you do exactly if he were to say that?
Well, I'm an insurance agent that's been in the insurance industry since 1993, starting out in claims, and then becoming an agent in 2006. Anyone can sell you insurance, but it's when you need to use it that you really count on a professional with experience to guide you through the process. I feel so strongly about that and customer service that after hours, I roll the calls from my office to my personal cell phone, so that you can always contact me. You can't predict when you have an accident, so you should be able to reach your agent whenever you do.
Wow. So we already hear one unique thing that you do that I'm not sure a whole lot of other folks are doing.
Right.
So excellent. And, of course, we want more of those. Okay, so that's a good starter. So let's hear it's some story that you might use in the midst of your whole conversation.
Well, there was a case where I had an elderly couple that wanted to meet with me to review their insurance, and they preferred that I come to their house, which I did, and I do that often for my clients. And when I went out to their house, I reviewed their insurance and asked them some questions about their personal assets. They lived in a very modest home, drove a modest car, and told me they lived on a budget. But when I told them that if their insurance coverage was not at appropriate levels, they could be sued for stocks and bonds and a myriad of other assets.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, we have $3 million in stock. I said, oh, well, you have the minimum that the state requires. We need to raise your limit so that you are not a target for a lawsuit should you be in an accident. And no one had ever done that for them before, nor had they ever asked them about their assets. They had been merely sold on price, which is what the insurance industry teaches us to do. Hey, save money. Save money here. Save money there. It's all about saving money. Nobody preaches about appropriate protection. And I do. I don't sell by price. I sell by appropriate protection. So I ask those kinds of questions and fortunately was able to get them the right amount of coverage for a still affordable price. And they felt more comfortable about that.
Mm. Perfect. Fantastic. So what people are getting from this, the audience, is they're hearing that you go above and beyond, that you're listening for what can help them and not missing what the other people are. So
right.
Whether it's right getting sued or, you know, hey, there's some other big savings. And I bet you there's something else that another story you probably could tell with a different family or person where you realized they were overpaying or getting completely the wrong thing?
There are. There are several stories like that, yes.
Go ahead. Hit us with another one. What was good, by the way, before I'm sorry, I told you to say it now, I'm cutting off. But what was good about the last one was you also opened with that it was an older couple. I don't know if you said older or elderly, but
I said elderly.
Older. Okay. Either one is fine. You know, elderly would be, you know, much older couple. You came to their house. We know that they're more comfortable. You said they drove modest cars. So we're visualizing what that looks like. I know what I think it looks like.
Right.
And it looks like plenty of people that we all know.
Right.
So that was really helpful. And also you had some dialogue in there. So, all right, keep it going. Hit me with the next story, which is how you identified a way to save people some money or, you did something just a little bit different.
There was a couple that I visited with recently, a young couple that just had a baby, and they had their home insurance with one carrier and their auto insurance with another, and their life insurance was provided by work, and they had never really given it much thought. So I once again went to their home and looked at their house and their car and told them that if I'm going to protect their most valuable assets, I should at least look at it. And they felt comfortable with that. And when we reviewed their coverage, they had not really given much thought to the fact that even though they had life insurance through work, once they retired or left that job, their life insurance would cease. And that they really needed to own their own policy so that if they ever stopped working for their current employer, that their life insurance would never stop and still be rated at their health when they bought it. So I was able to bundle their insurance, home, auto, and life, get them all the discounts that they didn't have on their previous policies, and get them the appropriate coverage, even some that they didn't even know they needed.
Right. So a point you probably want to make for people, great story. So what we want to do is eliminate any objections that people might have in their head.
Right.
Meaning you can even bring some up. Meaning when I say people, I mean, you know, those people watching the video. So one might be, so it sounds like this guy's a good guy, but was he recommending, you know, a few other things that they just plain didn't have, and that so you could deal with that objection in advance by saying, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you tell me if this is, you know, it sounds like this is part of your philosophy that you were looking for a win-win all around, which is how can I best help them? How can I do my job the best? Can I save them money and make it where you know, they signed up for a different policy, but they were ahead of the game.
Right. There's been plenty of times that I've reviewed people's insurance policies, and Farmers isn't the only good company out there. And so when I've come across those cases where I feel like people are appropriately covered and the price is good, and I couldn't beat it, then I've asked them, hey, you know, when you renew, let's look at it again. I think you're pretty good right now. I don't see a reason why you should change. And that has given me a little bit of credibility with those folks saying, Howie's not trying to just sell me something. And I've gotten referrals from those people who didn't buy from me, but they recommended me to other people because they thought that I was being honest.
Right. Fantastic. So I would include that. I think that would be very, very helpful in having your interview.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we say, okay, I kind of don't really have anything to lose. If my thing is fine, this guy just said, he might look and just say, you know what, you're doing pretty well. Hey, think of me when you go to renew.
Right.
And they understand that you're still, you know, you're a smart business person. You're not just saying like, oh, well, and walking away. You said, oh, well, think of me when you hit that point. So and they probably will. So, yeah, try to include that in your interview. Now, some of you might be hearing what I'm saying when I say, no, include that. And you're saying, but my, there will be questions asked of me. How do I get to that? So, for one, I know that there are emails going back and forth with Nick and the team to basically be on the same page with questions. The questions will always be, and I can't remember right now, if they're sending it to you, maybe one of you could just fill me in right now. Are they sending it to you? Or are you sending it to them? They've changed it over time.
I haven't heard anything either way.
I haven't received any questions.
No.
Okay, because essentially what they do is the questions are who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Right.
So you can write those down, and now but I'm going to make you even more prepared. But now you're prepared for the questions. They really are going to say some version of, like I just did, you know, what you do is kind of unique and it's just a little bit different than people in your field. You know, explain that to us. So you're going to open up with some sort of who question. You know, who are you? And Nick will make sure that you really have a clear sense, you know, of where he's going. Whether it's through email or right before, even just to say, so why is that important? Or, hey, you know, I know you've been able to help some people. You know, tell us about, you know, how you've done that. They're basically just setting you up to, you know, run with the best ways to look great. The one thing that Nick said on the last call is that Brian Tracy, he said, you know, we'll say, you know, here are the main who, what, when, where, why questions. But if you say something interesting, you know, Brian may say, you know, hey, tell me more about that. Or, you know, wow, how long have you been doing that? So you shouldn't be surprised if you said something that's good that makes him just, you know, ask a follow-up question. And then obviously if, you know, it didn't sound great or there was something not as perfect, don't worry, they could always chop it out. But often what happens is it ends up being good because it feels very spontaneous. But I know from a past shoot, somebody was surprised once. I was so surprised that he liked what I just said. Well, don't be so surprised. You know, that's part of being a good interviewer. So fantastic. Those are two good stories. And whoever's breathing into the phone, press star 6 so that we don't hear it for the rest of the time.
Well, Jess, this is Barry Schimmel. I have a question regarding, like, if customers come to you and they're negative about what you do, we provide strategy sessions on marketing, and they always come and they're very negative about paying somebody to learn what they know. I mean, what do you think starting out an interview when you're telling the story with a negative reaction from a client?
So are you saying that these prospects often kind of start this way, like, well, so why should I?
Absolutely. Why should I pay you for my knowledge? You should research it and already know it and be able to implement a solution. And, you know, I had a customer, you know, a prospect that I was actually trying to get for 6 months, trying him to, you know, convince him to actually go with us and do the strategy first so we can implement a solid plan. And
right.
Until I offered it up for free and said, you know what, I'll do the strategy for free, or essentially you don't pay me up front if you don't see any value after I completed it. And after I completed it, he saw the value and he paid us. So a story like that, I mean, it's kind of a negative, you know, connotation to start off the interview. What is your opinion about, you know?
Well, first I want to ask you, how long does it take for you to do the full strategy?
It takes us 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking, and this is some seed to plant for some of the rest of you, is I was able to open some big doors with my business by basically giving a half hour of strategy away to people and basically saying, look, if you think that this is something that, you know, can help you, or, you know, say I have somebody who says we'd like the CEO to work with you, but we're not sure and we need to look at, you know, budgets and stuff, I'll say, listen, I'll get on the phone, I'll give a pure half hour of value, and I might use that word strategy or however it is that resonates with what they need. You know, I'll give them advice, it's not a sales call, and You know, they can do whatever with it that they like, but it's a win-win all around. By the way, I'm saying this so some of you will come up with ideas, but it's a win-win all around because he's happy. He got some great value. You're happy. I'm saying this to the person who's the connector, who's not that final decision maker, like the CEO, and say, you know, you'd be happy because you'll get credit from the CEO. Hey, you got us for something for free. And I said, and you know what? And I'm happy because they get to see me in action or hear me in action over the phone for the half hour and see what I do. If they want to move forward, great. If not, no big deal. But, you know, it's a deeper conversation. Wow, holy cow. So if there's some way of giving a little of yourself, so you may want to decide that you do, you know, 20, 30 minutes of strategy over the phone for free, and then the 5-week version is obviously after they've paid, where you go much further and deeper.
Absolutely. And, Josh, you know, I'm excited to tell you that you answered the question 100% accurate. If you go to our website, that's exactly,
yeah.
We give a 45-minute strategy session for free.
Perfect.
To every
Perfect.
Single prospect.
So what you would say now we're back to the interview, as anyone who's listening right now is saying, but what does that have to do with our interview? Okay, so here's how we work that in, which is, you know what, we want to know just as much as you want to know that we're all a good fit for each other. So, you know, instead of jumping through hoops and going through all these things, we'll either get on the phone with you, or I don't know if you do it also face-to-face, but we'll sit down with you, we'll go through what you have, we'll do a whole 45-minute session. We're not even going to charge you for it. This way you get to see what we're made of, what's in our head, where we think we could go with you, what we think we could do with you, and then you have a better sense of how we work. And that's been really nice and doesn't cost anything for anybody. So that might be a nice thing to weave into one of your answers. And I know if I'm listening, I'd be a fool not to let you troubleshoot my situation. For 45
Absolutely.
Minutes.
But going back to the question is, starting it out with the customers that are skeptical, that fight you
okay.
on following that approach, is when you're being interviewed, is that bad?
No, because I think what you're going to do is you're dealing with potential objections. So, again, that's one of the things I'd love for all of you to be able to talk about in your answers, which is, you know, I'm pretending I'm you now. You know, I love what I do. We get to look at people's businesses. We get to figure out what is going to really push them through the next level. And we've been able to do some exciting stuff like this and that and the other. Now, there are some people who are listening right now who are skeptics. And that's fine. You know what? Everyone who's listening right now should be a skeptic and say, well, you know, what do you have that some other person doesn't have? And, you know, what I like to tell people, and then you launch into what you do tell people. So you kind of, you're saying, you know, some of you might be thinking this. So that's a great way to get into those heads and answer a few of those commonly asked questions or, you know, the things that skeptics often bring up. Is that
okay.
helpful?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and for all of you, if you can bring that up in your interview. Unless, of course, people are not all that skeptical or don't have that many objections or, you know, what about this? And my feeling is, you know, there's always some sort of objection. The objection might be on their end, meaning, you know, I don't have time. You know, if I was thinking, you know, I just rejoined a gym recently, you know, objections that come up, you know, are on my side. Well, you know, I don't know how I'm going to work it into my schedule or – you know, this is more than the other place in town, but this first place, you know, has 19 more amenities. And, you know, the personal trainers will just walk up to you and say, you know, hey, what are you doing? You should do it this way, which they don't, which they really should. That would be 1,000 times better and would build more relationships. It's the same thing as giving the free item away. So they're just giving a little free piece of themselves. But the point is, if you can bring up some of those objections, even if the objection is not something that you control. It's something they control. You can talk about how you work through that. You know, so if people, just using the example I just said, you know, people right now are saying, how would I work this into my schedule? Or, you know, I don't even know how I'm going to make this thing happen. You know, we go through with you. We have a plan for something like that. We take as much of the burden, but obviously, you know, you have to be, you know, part of the whole equation. But we, you know, we're going to walk you through it. We've got the system down, and we make it as painless as possible. I mean, if you were to say, if that those were objections that you needed to deal with. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds excellent. Thank you very much.
No problem. Before I jump into the next section, please, anybody else, throw any questions that are in your head at me so I can answer them. All right. So here's what I want to, speaking of answering, here's what I want to jump into next before sound bites. It's something I call the answer system. So this is a way for you, without sounding like these politicians that sound ridiculous, to be able to have the most control when an interviewer asks you questions. So the interviewer says, who was just asking that? Barry was asking the last question?
Yes.
So the interviewer says, Barry, what city are you in?
Chicago.
Okay, great. So Brian Tracy says, Barry, so you're in Chicago. Do you love Chicago? I lived there for 10 years, and, oh, man, it's one of my favorite places on earth. Now, I have a feeling, I mean, unless you hate it, but I have a feeling that you're fine with the city that you live in.
Absolutely.
And you're probably going to say something nice. You're not going to say, you know, the people are terrible. You're not going to get much business after that. So you could easily spend the whole rest of the 10 minutes just talking about, oh, you love Chicago, or you like it, why you like it, or the sports teams, or all these things that are literally off message. And if you did the messaging drill from the first call, which if you go back, I have a little outline, I think I say, when it came up in the call, I think it was in the last 10 minutes of the last replay. So you can, they don't call it fast forwarding, but you can skip ahead to hearing how that drill works. It would literally be off message. So here, this technique will help you to tie a bow on any question asked of you, meaning you wrap it up nicely, and then you have control, which means you can move to wherever you want to go.
We have some of the best business owners in the Midwest.
What is that?
I said we have some of the best business owners in the Midwest. Right?
And that
tie it
yes.
right back into your message.
And then but now you still have control, so you can take it where you want to go. So I'm going to build on that even more. So say he says, you know, oh boy, you love Chicago. It's such a great city. I loved it when I was there. So you may open with, I'll tell you, my opinion, I think we have some of the best business owners. I mean, I love it. It's a wonderful town. But, you know, what makes it really special is we have the type of business owners that really know how to dig down and make things happen. You know, when I get on the phone with a lot of them, I'll hear phrases like, so you want to get back over, transition over into some of those answers and places you want to go. So now I just transitioned into being able to tell a story about what these business owners, you know, what kind of grit they have and why they're terrific, but then also your advice that you're giving to them. So essentially, here's what it looks like if you were to draw it on a piece of paper. You can draw a circle, and inside the circle you can write the short answer or short answer. The short answer might be, you know, I love Chicago. It's, you know, it's been my home forever. And then you follow that with, and you can draw a little arrow to the right, and you can draw three more circles. And those circles would be something from message category one, category two, category three. And if you listen to the end of the first call, these can be categories of answers, and it might be the problems That might be the first one. The next one might be solutions, and the third might be call to action. So an ideal answer, let's pretend he just said, do you love Chicago? Now, that's not help. You're thinking, well, that doesn't really get me towards anything I need to talk about. So your short answer might be, oh, you know, I love it. I've been there my whole life. Great. You've now answered the question. You're done. But you shouldn't hand over control. Now we want to go over to those three next circles, which would be problem. Let's pretend it was problem, solution, call to action. And if you listen to the last call, you'll see that there are other choices that you might have. So we need something from the problem category. You know, I love it. It's wonderful. But, you know, a big problem that I notice with a lot of clients that I have is, and go ahead, Barry, what's a big problem that people that you deal with every day?
Is they waste a lot of money on their marketing because they don't have a strategy, so they're not building a solid foundation.
Right. So your short answer, we have to, without taking this huge, huge left turn, we have to transition over into that. You could say, look, I love, so here's the short answer. I love the people of Chicago. It's my hometown. You know, I'm a diehard guy, and, you know, yes, I go to the Cubs games and I cry. But you could say, because my heart is in it and because I do what I do and I help business owners, I'm always trying to look for, you know, how can I do it in a big way? And that's what, you know, the people from Chicago do. And the first thing I do is I figure out what's the big problem. And the big problem usually ends up being they don't have a strategy. So what we do is, now you're in the solution category, is we go through, whether it's on the phone or this and that, we go through, we get their strategy down, we know we have this clear focus, we know we have the systems to do it, and I get people to take action. And you know what? Hey, so here comes a call to action. You know what? For people who are listening right now, if you do anything, whether it's with me or not, take action. Figure out what your strategy is. Figure out what you're going to do. And take some sort of action instead of just saying, yeah, I'm going to get to that. Well, that's not an action plan. So notice how I probably talked for 48 seconds. I didn't time it. 48 seconds. And it's and then it covered everything. I gave a little short little answer, and I got three messages. Sound good?
Yes. And Joe Osteen is very good at that. He said, you know, belong to a Bible-based church no matter where you're at, whether it's with us or somebody else.
Nice.
You know,
so
that's a great call to action.
Feeling, yeah, and one of the brilliant things in being able to use the technique, and he's probably doing it as well, is you'd think, well, I'm not going to look somewhere else. I'm already listening to you. So
right.
I'll keep listening to what you have to say instead of starting from scratch and finding somebody else. And obviously there's already an implied endorsement when an interviewer is interviewing you. You know, well, they must like you. They seem like they do. So, you know, whether they're thinking into it or not, that's, you know, that's the subcontext that's there. So, good, excellent. All right. So that's the main idea of the answer system. A couple of other pieces in answering questions. You can answer with a rhetorical question, as long as I like to call it the rhetorical answer, which is, let's pretend one of them asks you a question, meaning Nick or Brian. They ask you a question, and it's really not the best question. You can always say, well, look, the real question people need to ask themselves, it's not, you know, why isn't this working? It's why don't I have the right techniques to make it work? And here's what I tell people. They will be completely fine with that. And if you went out and you did interviews after this, which is my secret goal for all of you, that you're so empowered by the situation that you say, I want to keep doing interviews, and that you go do it, you can use that technique as well. Because it's basically the interviewer is always thinking, hey, you're the real expert. You know, I'm just trying to lead you down the path. So if you need to redirect me without dodging, then they're thrilled. So redirects are fine. It's the dodge. That's where politicians get into trouble. Politicians will, you know, tell me about healthcare. Well, you know, the problem with the war in Afghanistan. You know, what? How do we get over there? So there was no short answer piece. So, I mean, if you ask a politician, you know, tell me about health care, they may say, well, first off, I'm not on that committee, and, you know, I don't want to pretend that, you know, I'm the person who's out there solving that problem. That I am on the committee for, you know, the war, and I'll tell you what we're doing healthcare-wise there. I mean, that would be a way to get over. I mean, if you were absolutely the wrong person, I would imagine I would hope our politicians can really deal with both questions, but that's, you know, a little bit of a better way of doing it if they couldn't answer the question. Here's something else that will help you. I call it the I don't know answer technique. Let's pretend that either Nick or Brian, they get so excited about what you said that they go off script and they say, but how many people have you helped where that's been a situation? Now, it may be real easy. You may say, you know, I would say, you know, 80 to 90% of the people I work with, that's the situation. You know, okay, fine, you're done. But let's pretend you're thinking, gee, I couldn't even put a number on it. So for the I don't know technique, you can say some version of I don't know as long as you follow it with what you do know. So if you could say, I mean, so your short answer might be, look, well, I don't have the exact number for you today. What I can tell you, it's certainly north of 85%. But here's the real indicator of what we see when we meet people like that, which is, and now you're off into your category of messages. So once you're thinking of this whole idea of short answer, you kind of dealt with what they said, you have control, you can take it wherever you want. And that exercise from the end of the first call was basically you sitting down and saying, gee, if I could say anything I wanted, which you can, by the way, not just in this interview, but in interviews in general, people just don't know that they have that much control. But if I had as much control as I wanted, what would I say? So you sit down there for 7 minutes, this is the exercise, and you write out the answers you wish you could say, and then you stare at them and you say, holy cow, if I said half these things, it would be an unbelievable interview. But the thing is, most people don't take the 7 minutes and do it. It will help you so much. So please, please do it for yourself. And then stare at it, and you can follow some of the techniques from the other call. So that now combined with the answer system, you're going to be great. And by the way, if any of you are talking and giving your answer and it feels like it's going on a little too long, there's a way you can tie a bow on it. So you're talking, you're feeling, and it seems like maybe this is going a little long, but I somehow said, and, you know, another thing is, you know, instead of saying, you know, another, notice how my voice came up. Usually you can bring your voice down and say, well, you know what, those main things I just gave you, that's what you want to run with. So there's this whole inflection thing. If you just bring your voice down, even if you brought yourself up and you feel like, oh, I just painted myself into a corner, I have to keep saying more, you can say, essentially, those are the main ideas, and that's what you want to do. Notice how I brought my voice down. Just doing that will also save you anytime you feel like you're talking too long. And then people say, oh, okay, and the interview will just to the next question, and it'll be completely fine. Good. I wanted to, in the last few minutes, give you a couple of these soundbite techniques, and I'll answer last questions if you have them. So, again, this is just to make the interview pop. And if you were speaking to a print reporter, in the paragraphs of what you say, adding this little 5% tweak to answers you were already going to say just makes them say, whoa, that was great. Say that again. So here are some examples. One is speaking in absolutes and not hedging. So instead of saying, this is something that we sometimes recommend, so maybe you'd want to try it out. A little too wishy-washy. So if you say, look, we tell people, go out, make sure you have your plan, make sure you have your strategy, make sure you do this. Notice I'm speaking in absolutes. I don't have the specific examples for all of you, but, you know, do this, and do this. I gave absolutes. Something about it, or say, if there's anything I'm 100% certain on, it's that people who come to us have this issue. And you're 100% certain on the issue. You don't necessarily have to have 100% of the people that have that situation. But speaking in absolutes, it will not only make you look and sound even better, but it will connect people to your information even better. Here comes another one. Examples, giving examples. Well, we talked about the stories earlier. So the examples could be with facts. It could be with stories. It could be any details that make something come alive. Again, it's something we do as human beings. When I give my public speaking presentation workshops, the other half of what I do, I will say to people that stories are the currency of life. So, one, people say, that's right, we talk with stories. But here's how that's even a soundbite. Analogy, currency. You like that? So analogy is the next one. If you can give analogies. Here's an analogy that I sometimes use with some CEOs who say, I love what you're saying, and Jess, I want you to do a media training session with me for a half an hour, where typically for somebody like that, it might be a whole full day and a big, deep, you know, deep thing. I'll say, well, I've chatted with you for a half an hour, and we just kind of, you know, hit the tip of the iceberg here. So there you go, another analogy. A little bit of a cliche, but it's actually okay because that's a soundbite element. Here comes one I use. The problem is this is like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. You know, we have other people on your team that need this help, and if I'm just giving you a few techniques and then you're not going to put them into action or try them out, you're going to fall on your face, which is another analogy. And then they move to action. So analogies. Think about other analogies you can use. A few other ones. Predictions are great. You know, if you want to make a prediction of what you see happening in the next year or two or something along those lines, you know, again, these make you really seem like the expert. You are the expert. You do what you do more than anybody else. You are an expert. If you feel uncomfortable with that, don't worry about it. The interviewer will probably portray you that way. But you are. Emotion. If you can add emotion into your stories and into your answers, and you can say, you know, talking about the David and the insurance situation, if you say, you know, when I hear a couple who say this sentence to me that I hear often, you know, it breaks my heart because I know that somebody's been doing them wrong. And you say it however you want to say it without, you know, destroying whoever their person is that worked with them beforehand. But emotion is huge, not only as a soundbite element, but also as a sales element. So you want to do that. Cliches, I brought it up. Here are a couple that enhance what you're saying. So you're talking, you're giving the paragraph, and then all of a sudden you say, look, the bottom line is blank. And you say what the bottom line is. Holy cow, he or she just bottom lined it for me. Fantastic. Who doesn't love somebody to bottom line something for you? You can also use a phrase like, look, at the end of the day, people need to know blank. You know, at the end of the day, that's another cliche, but it's fine. So you can even in advance. You should do some of this in advance. Let's see here. And there are one or two other ones that are less relevant for your interview, so I'm not going to go into it. But humor is one of them. You can have some fun with your interview, but make sure that you, you know, you just look like somebody that's easy to work with, but the humor really plays into the messages of what you want people to hear and understand. So, I mean, if I said, you know, this is like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, I might smile and laugh a little bit, but it's kind of true. And, you know, it looks like I'm having some fun, a little humor, but it's real. And it's not, I'm not telling a joke, so it's not that. I know we hit 5 o'clock. I probably hit record probably about 2 minutes after. Are there any questions? Anything that's going through any of your mind, I like to try to, you know, keep to the time, but I'll give you bonus time for people who want to stick around. But I want to draw the line and say, I said and did everything I needed to take care of in the allotted hour. So if you need to run off, you can do that and feel good that you got everything. And for the rest of you, if you have any questions, go ahead, Hit me now.
Jess, I have a question if you want to plug a book.
Yeah,
you know,
how the heck do you do it appropriately?
How do you do it appropriately? So when you're talking about your company and then you're going to,
yes,
transition to the book.
Right. I like to call this plugging without plugging. Now, certainly, your interviewer, make sure you remind them, even though I know Nick and his team, they look at everything and they go through, remind them anyway, it doesn't matter, and say, hey, are you going to bring up my book in the introduction or this and that? Because that's right when it's happening. And they'll say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And if you already have it there, great, then they'll see it. And if it hasn't been printed yet, and that's fine, it will be by the time, people watching this, then, make sure it's just written for them. You can bring it up the day before to Nick if you want to do that. So step one is they're going to bring it up in the introduction. They'll probably bring it up in the closing. They're probably, for this interview, going to even flash it at the bottom of the screen, certainly under your name when they credit who you are. So you've already got multiple times that it's up there. But here comes the piece that I call plugging without plugging, which is instead of saying, and by the way, people should buy my book, which is really great, and it's going to tell people, like you're begging them. That's not plugging without plugging. That's begging. The way to do it with more integrity is to say it on the way to offering value. So if you're giving a question, you can say, Nick, that's a fantastic question. In fact, it's something that comes up often when I'm working with people, and I did three whole chapters on this in the new book. Here's what I tell people. What I tell them, you planted a seed on the way to giving an answer and value. That's also a cue for them to make it come up graphically on the bottom of the screen. If it wasn't this interview, which they may still put it graphically on the screen, usually the interviewer then says, yeah, and by the way, the name of the book is, and they're usually delighted to bring it up then because you gave the audience value at that moment instead of trying to hit them over the head with, let's stop talking so I can bring up that I have a book. So think of a couple of ways that you can do it with integrity, that you can, say either, yeah, I have a whole chapter on that, or, this is a big part of what I talk about in this book. Let's say you're one of the folks, I know some of you have one chapter in a book. So you can say, this is a big part of what I talk about, and I mentioned in the book, in the new book, and then you say what you're going to say. Or here's another way of doing it. You could say, look, when I was asked to write a chapter for the new book, which is called one of the things that I said was people need to know this exact answer, and here's what I tell them. So this way you're not – the big trouble comes from when you are alluding to an answer and you're not giving enough during the interview. That helpful so far? Were helpful to you?
Yes, sir.
Any last piece of that you want more on?
No, that was excellent.
Oh, perfect. Great. Who else? Anybody else? I'm glad that came up. Yeah, and ultimately, now I know I'm jumping in. Any last questions before I say my last thing? Go ahead. Well, ultimately, I want you all to remember this, which is the team is there to think of a lot of these things and try to get you to say what you need to say and do all these things. I mean, part of that, obviously, is why they brought me in. They brought me in from the outside and said, we know there's value to giving people the information on what you say because it's only going to make them better. And any pre-work that people do, so obviously you're here, you're listening, whether it's live or on the replay, so you're doing some of it. If you can, after this call, do that messaging drill for 7 minutes, go find the email, one of the previous emails, and just look down below. You'll see that link and listen to in the last 10 minutes where I explain what that's about. And take 7 minutes to do that exercise. You're going to be so happy that you did it because it really takes a lot of the worry out of where you should go and what you should say. And you're thinking of it more from beginning with the end in mind instead of worrying about the questions. So you're saying, well, here's where I'm going, and you know they'll lead me into it, and I'll take it and run. So it'll be great. So that's something that will make you happy. And here's one last thing, as I'm trying to make sure I don't want to leave anything out, is a great way to practice. Now, some of you may say, practice? I'm not, why would I practice? You know, I'll just think about it. Well, anything that you've ever done in your life, you've only gotten better at by doing. So your job right now, what you do, you've gotten better by actually doing it. And, you know, making some mistakes along the way. The best way to practice would be with a video recording device. I say that instead of video camera because it's built into everything like our cell phones. You can literally take your cell phone or your iPhone or whatever it is, your digital still camera, hand it to somebody else and say, hey, ask me these 5 questions, practice talking and giving some of these answers that you were hoping you'd go to. Your first draft, which is your first time doing it, probably won't be perfect, and that's fine. Because our first draft is never perfect of anything we do. But even just doing it then an extra time or two after watching it playing back and looking at it, you'll get better and better. And you should be, when you look at the video, look at what is working, do more of that. Look at what isn't working, do less of that. That's as simply put, instead of just beating yourself up, oh, I hate this, why is, you know, my hair is backwards and I don't, you know, why would I say that? Don't beat yourself up. Just don't say that in the next one. Say something that you want to say. And just doing that a couple of times will be so, so valuable. And if you're listening to this on the replay, people are not on live, and you're already in San Diego, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't do this, and now I'm in trouble, pair up with each other. Find a practice buddy and say, hey, I know, hey, did you listen to one of those media training calls? And the other person will say yes or no. And you say, oh, well, what Jess said was find a practice buddy. And, you want to practice with me? Okay, great. And then literally for 5 minutes each, take out your cell phone, record, play back, both of you comment on it. If you do that at some point, even the day of the recording, when other people are having their, you know, allotted time slots, and you say, hey, so we'll practice on the side here, it'll be great. It'll be fantastic. So those are ways for you to make it, you know, even better for you. So there you go. Those are my last and final thoughts for you. But I'm excited to see what happens for all of you. And I hope that you use the resources. I'm going to send, in the next email I send out, I'm going to send you a link where you essentially can go through and have access to the entire video library of things that I say, and those videos, just so you know, are usually 1 or 2 minutes long. So, you know, hey, what does Jess say on this? It's quick. No one will ever watch it if I made them too long. But there are a whole bunch of things on there, including something that I just added at the bottom of those links, which is when you click through and you see all the links on the video page. It's something called the Media Training Primer. And I'm going to be selling that soon, but I just put it on the page for all of you. And it's basically me going on for about an hour and 20 minutes about all of the big, big techniques of what I tell people. But if you were to do anything, a good use of your time would be doing that message drill and then doing a little practice with a video camera. You'd be fantastic. So that's what you have in store. And I think all of you for taking time out. I went a little extra because I just wanted you to have a little extra. So have fun and good luck in San Diego.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, great job, Jess. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Talk to you guys. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.